It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As the U.S. Chess Federation sponsors the Midwest Regional Championship in Milwaukee, we explore how this game that has ties to the 16th century continues to draw in players of all ages today. As we discuss chess, call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Chris Wainscott is a chess journalist and co-owner of the International Academy of Chess in Milwaukee. Chris, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. I'm so glad to be here. And I was telling your producer when I was originally invited on that I am an avid listener of the show. I've been listening back to when Joy hosted, so it's a true pleasure to be here.
Oh, that's so awesome. Thank you. So what can we expect from the championship in Milwaukee? How many players do you anticipate for the tournament?
Well, right now we have a little bit over 100 signed up, and we're hoping to get about double that number. It's always a little iffy this time of year because you never know what's going to happen with weather. But it looks like, other than it being a bit cold, this coming Saturday, the 20th, should be pretty good weather. It'll be clear, so it'll be easy for people to get there. And hey, it'll be warm inside, so come out and join us.
So this is a Midwest tournament. Where will the players come from?
Primarily Wisconsin. This is the first year that we've hosted this event. We're hoping to see it grow to be more of a regional thing as years go by. But this year, you know, especially because it's the first time something's being held, mostly the people will come from the immediate area.
So what types of players might participate and come to the tournament? You know, can you kind of explain the range of players?
Sure. So the first thing to note is that there'll actually be a couple of different tournaments held side by side. One is an open tournament, meaning it's open to adults or kids or whomever. There is a qualifier. You do have to be a member of the U.S. Chess Federation to play in that particular event. But it'll be open to adults of all experience ranges. Some will be stronger. Some will be master level. Some will be closer to just starting out, but it's really for everyone. With the kids, the scholastic sections, there will be both a U.S. chess rated section for them and also sections where they don't have to be members of the Chess Federation. And those are generally based as much on age as anything else. The cutoffs aren't actually based on age, they're based on strength, but it tends to run along grade levels pretty well as well. So you'll see the younger kids generally playing with the younger kids and the older kids generally playing with younger kids. The nice thing about chess, though, is it's not, you know, it's not like when you're playing a physical sport where you have to have the first graders with the first graders. You know, we're talking about one of the few activities where grader can beat an adult.
Yeah, I was about to fill in those words. That first grader can certainly take on that adult. I've seen
right.
That
yeah,
happen.
You wouldn't want to see that in like football, but in chess, it works out just fine.
What is the chess scene like here in Wisconsin? Do we have a strong contingency?
Considering how small we are population wise, we do pretty well in the bigger population centers in Wisconsin. So there's a pretty vibrant scene in the greater Milwaukee area. There's also one that's pretty well going in the Madison area and then Green Bay as well. And I know people in some other areas of the state may take exception with me naming those three, but honestly, considering the size of the state, we do pretty well for ourselves. There are a couple of clubs in the greater Milwaukee area that meet every week that have, you know, as many as 30 or even 40 players some nights. So, you know, considering that, again, we're talking about an activity that maybe not as many people are aware about is pretty thriving. That's pretty thriving.
Talking chess with Chris Wainscott, chess journalist and co-owner of the International Academy of Chess in Milwaukee. You can join in questions and comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. John in Boaz is here. John, what would you like to bring up?
I would like to talk about the beginning of chess. That we here in the Driftless area have not had glaciers. Now, the fact is that the glaciers melted 15,000 years ago, and that's as far back as chess It's in the old books. It's been 10,000 years been playing chess, not the 1600s. Oh. 10,000 years of chess.
And the historical reference there, John, thank you so much. Comparison to the glaciers, Chris, go ahead.
I mean, I am aware of chess existing for somewhere around 1,500 years. It's quite possible that it goes back beyond that as well, but not in any written record that I am aware of. However, I will say that while chess is generally assumed to have come from India, there's also evidence that says it might be an amalgamation of several games from India and Europe as well. But I'm not aware of it going back as far as John is, but you know, I can't pretend to be the world's foremost chess historian. So
why does it have such holding power? Why is it so vibrant today as it has been ages ago?
I think for a few reasons. And I guess while I don't like to really give any positive spin to the pandemic in general, this is one of the activities that people kind of rediscovered during that time. You know, when we weren't able to really go out and do as much as we had been in public, it turns out that here's a game that you can easily play. One of the appeals these days is that you don't even need someone else in the house that knows how to play. You can simply go online and play online. There's sites like chess.com where it's free to join. You can play other similarly experienced folks. But it's also something that a lot of families picked back up during the pandemic because it was the kind of thing that you didn't need to go out for. You could just sit around the house and play games. And I think that was true of a lot of games, but chess just happened to be one that really got going again. And with the Netflix show, The Queen's Gambit, that shined a little bit more of a spotlight. And, you know, so for the last 3 or 4 years, there's been a little bit of a chess boom in the country and the world at large, but here in Wisconsin as well.
You mentioned chess.com and the online presence of chess. Do you recommend the apps to build chess skills going online?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a couple of different reasons. The first is just that there's a rating system that's used for chess. And without going too deep into the weeds, essentially the idea is to be able to pair people who are similarly experienced against one another. So when you go on a site like chess.com, if your rating is whatever number, it's trying to find other people that are close to that number so that you're not playing somebody who either you're going to destroy them or they're going to destroy you. It should be a reasonably good game. The other nice thing about those apps is that there are all kinds of little puzzles and courses that you can review to learn to get better yourself.
Tom emailed to ask you, is there a spectator element to the tournament coming up? Can people come to watch?
Yes, absolutely. Spectators are welcome. The one thing we would ask is that please turn off your cell phone before you enter the playing room. But yes, we will be at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee in the Student Union. And again, there'll be a couple of different rooms that we're in because there'll be one for the open section, which will primarily be adults, and then another section for the kids who are playing in the Scholastic event.
What happens to the winners in this regional championship? Do they advance in some way?
No, this isn't part of the Nationals.
Okay.
Scholastic championships. It's really just a regional thing that we're doing. Again, the name is really just designed to make sure that people who are not from Wisconsin understand that they're more than welcome to come here and play. We do have a few that are coming in from out of state. We have some from Illinois. Just got an email from a parent and a father in Iowa. So, you know, again, it's primarily going to be Wisconsin, but we're hoping to see it grow over the years.
Chess journalist and player Chris Wainscott works to spread one of the most popular board games in the world here in Wisconsin. And you can call in with a question. Share your thoughts on chess, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Midwest Regional Chess Championships are set for Saturday at UW-Milwaukee. We explore how the game has taken hold in Wisconsin and efforts to spread it. And you can be part of the conversation about chess. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Chris Wainscott is a chess journalist and co-owner of the International Academy of Chess in Milwaukee. Let's bring in Jack in Madison. Hi, Jack.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm a fairly avid but out-of-practice chess player. My neighbor and I like to play a bunch of games together and go head-to-head. I was fortunate enough to beat him one time into a near stalemate type situation, but we have fun together nonetheless. One of the things I wanted to talk to your guests about is there's another game that I like to play called Corridor, which has a similar feel to chess, except you have four pieces that look alike, and it can be played from two to four players. And these pieces kind of look like chess pawns. And the idea is you're getting your piece down the board before your opponent's. And what you can do is either move your own piece or you can put in a wall in front of your opponent so that they can't move any further, or you can put the wall to the side of your piece. And it's a really fun game and requires a lot of similar, you know, chess-like strategy and planning mm-hmm. and whatnot. And I wondered what kind of familiarity your guests had with other spin-off games from chess or anything like that.
Thank you. Chris, go ahead.
That game I am not familiar with, but it does sound quite interesting, so I'll have to look that one up. I mean, I will say that in general, people who play chess tend to play other strategy games, whether it's board games. You know, a lot of those types of games, whether it's something more like Go or Shenki, which is Chinese chess, a lot of chess players will play something else like that as well. Poker is also another pretty well-trodden path for chess players to get into. You know, again, strategy games in general tend to be something that we gravitate towards. And again, I've not heard of this Corridor game that you mentioned, but that sounds fascinating, and I'll have to look that one up.
It might be something that you would be interested in. Chris, you know, you mentioned scholastic chess and the young people who are very interested in playing this game. How can schools help chess clubs be more welcoming, especially to historically underrepresented players like girls and students of color?
That's a really good question. And I guess before I answer it, I do want to point out that we are doing this event not on our own, but in partnership with the Wisconsin Scholastic Chess Federation, which is run by a gentleman by the name of Bob Sumwalt Patterson. This was actually his idea to combine the two main scholastic organizations for Wisconsin, which is his, and then the International Academy of Chess. So he invited us to combine forces on a larger tournament, which is exactly what we're doing. So I do want to make sure that credit is given where credit is due there. As far as schools who are interested in chess programs or have chess programs or how they can be more inclusive, one thing I would do is just invite anybody who may be listening who's interested in starting or growing a program they either want to have or already have at their kid's school. Reach out to either the International Academy of Chess or to the Wisconsin Scholastic Chess Federation or Foundation, sorry, and we would be happy to talk to you more about what you can do. I will say that between their organization and ours being mine and my business partner, Ryan Murphy, we offer all kinds of before school classes, during school classes, after school classes. We host all kinds of weekend tournaments at the schools. And as a matter of fact, thanks to a lady by the name of Jody Weber, we actually started a program in the 53206 zip code 2 years ago. And we have two schools that we've worked with there. So it is very important to try and be inclusive. And again, one of the nice things about a game like chess is it breaks through socioeconomic barriers. So when you have kids who come from maybe less advantaged areas or go to less advantaged schools, this is still something that they can compete on a level playing field. And I'll tell you, some of our kids in the in one of those schools we work with in the 53206 zip code, they've won a couple of team trophies at our events, and you would have thought they just won the world championship. Those kids get so excited, and you know, it's nice because they're able to compete on equal footing.
Let's bring in Celia now in Madison. Celia, what's on your mind?
Hi, I have a question for the guest. I just turned on a couple minutes ago. I lived in New York for 40 years, and I used to be a management trainer. And one of the things I used to train in was communication skills to city workers. And so I'm interested in the whole interpersonal skill issue. And I learned at one point that in Chicago, in jail inmates, for jail inmates, they were teaching chess. And one inmate, quote, I remember saying, I never thought like this before in my whole life. If I was confronted with a bad situation, I just emotionally reacted. I never thought of the consequences. So chess, obviously, in terms of strategy, considers consequences. Is there any program in Wisconsin like this? Or I think it'd be a fabulous thing to do.
Celia, thank you. What are your thoughts there, Chris?
I'm not aware of any programs that are in our jail systems here or any of the prisons in Wisconsin. That doesn't mean there aren't any. And if there aren't, there definitely should be. Again, I would say that if there's anybody who's in a position to make that happen that would like to reach out, I would be happy to talk to anybody about that kind of stuff. There is a lot of evidence that shows that people who play chess, be it kids, adults, whatever, you do learn to think a bit more critically. I wouldn't say that it's a panacea for everything that ails you in terms of critical thinking, but there are some studies that do show that people who play chess have a better ability to consider a wider array of options before making a decision.
Chris Wainscott with us, chess journalist and co-owner of the International Academy of Chess in Milwaukee. Let's go to Doug now in Green Bay. Doug, hi.
Hi, I'm Doug. I'm a chess player and organizer in Green Bay. I just wanted to thank Mr. Westcott for the great work he's doing for our game and say that up here in Green Bay, we're very happy with the post-COVID chess boom. We have drawn more than 100 players to our summer tournament for the last 2 years now, and that hadn't happened in 40 years previously.
Oh, Doug, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, appreciate you bringing your perspective from Green Bay, seeing such a boom there. Chris, does that surprise you in any way?
It really doesn't. Green Bay is one of the areas I mentioned early on when I said Wisconsin has a pretty vibrant chess scene. One of the nice things about Green Bay in particular is that they have one gentleman who's been organizing things there for a long time, for decades. And they now have a few more that are stepping up to help. And that's a really important thing. You know, many chess clubs and chess organizations are essentially one person away from being defunct because there's usually one person who's doing the bulk of the work, whether it's finding a space for a club to meet or organizing a tournament or whatever may be the case. It's generally if that person wasn't doing it, there might not be anybody else who would. And in Green Bay, I see a couple of people particularly stepping up to help. So I think that's good. And I think that should help chess in the state overall continue to grow. It's important to have other areas in the state where chess is vibrant.
Well, here comes a question from my passionate chess player, seventh grader Oliver, wants to know, do you prefer being the white or black pieces?
Well, you do have an advantage when you play white because you move first. Mm-hmm. And at essentially all levels of skill, white tends to win about 10% more of the time as a result of moving first. So if you told me that I had to pick a color and it was a very important game, I would choose white.
Well, in our last moments together, what has been your hardest match? What was the most challenging game you've played?
The first time that I ever played a master, I actually had a chance to win the game and I made one hasty move. I had two choices. One of them was probably going to lead to a win. The other was unfortunately, definitely not going to. And I played the wrong move. And it's funny because that was in, I think, 2011 or 2012. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's that, I think, is why they say that when you play chess, you learn to be more considerate of options, because you can do something right for a long time, make one mistake, and it all goes away.
Mm.
So you just learn to be a little more, to think a little more clearly, or to consider a little more wisely.
Chris, all the best. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. And again, it's been a pleasure to be here. I've been an avid listener for a long time, and I will be for years to come. Thank you so much, Kate.
Chris Wainscott, Midwest Regional Chess Championships held Saturday, this Saturday, UW-Milwaukee. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.